2014 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion?
Approved.
I'll second it.
So a motion by Scott, second by Brendan. All in favor?
I'll abstain.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on something that's not on the agenda?
Well, I'm sure Travis Bridgman, 703, over the happy birthdays like that. And just happy for the opportunity to be here today to join in the listening and learning. And I'm going to write up something pretty incredible to share at the next meeting. So working on that.
Thank you, Mark. You wish to comment on anything not on the agenda?
This is a picture from Rich Pond Summit on 45410 South Savannah Road. And a little bit of learning and listening is my first attendance at the Planning Commission. But also a concern, I'm not sure if quite how to get involved or be involved with. There was a resolution maybe last year with regard to the John Day property between Hanover and the zoning. The resolution was to potentially change the zoning from the UPR to the UPR. And potentially we would come up with an ordinance and the comprehensive plan would be changed. Do we have that? I'm not sure if there's a time and place where if I wanted to speak more about it or what's my concerns about it, or how I would go about it. And so I just wanted to, I guess, ask some advice about how to do that with the Planning Commission and see what's about.
Sure. You actually have perfect timing. That is was just discussed at the Council Committee meeting this week, and it is due to go on the Council agenda May 6th. City Council at Senior Center, May 6th, 7 o'clock, and it's batched with some other amendments that we did for the comp plan, but it's still going forward, and that would be an opportunity to speak to it if you'd like. Yeah. I guess the only other thing is wanted to thank Scott for his time on Planning Commission. This will be his last meeting. Piper hopefully can attend next meeting for her last. The rest of you have agreed to stay, so thank you. And then wanted to welcome Dick Bryan and have him maybe say a few things about himself. I don't know, you guys, some of you seem to know each other, but...
Have I joined the sinking ship here? What's this?
And if the rest of you guys want to just
you
say...
We're going to sales. Moving to sales.
Just a thank you, Carson and staff, for your time.
Like I said to you guys last time, I'll say it again for the record, I couldn't be happier to be with a committee that's absolutely working on the work. You don't come and waste time, you get on the job. I really appreciate that. I've been doing this kind of thing for a lot of years professionally with Weyerhaeuser. I was a land use guy for almost 15 years and stuff on me, free for them. I helped, I sat in on the very first Snoqualmie Advisory Committee plan back in 84 to 88. 4 years of meeting in the Falls City Elementary School, finally getting the plan out. But I learned from the ground up. I'm a trained forester, and I'm like, sitting on the committee, I was absolutely green. After 4 years, I was very much brown. I mean, we learned a lot of stuff. And I moved a lot of property in and out of the company. Acquiring, transferring lands, acquiring lands. That's what we do. My role at the warehouse was also permitting. I was a permit guy. You want a permit, you come get me. I guess you're on the land, that kind of thing. But primarily, I was a land use manager for three tree farms, the Havis Tree Farm down in Lewis County, the White River, Ian Plaw, and Snowball. I had three guys that were with me on that. I can't remember the names, about 520,000 acres. And I left in 96 in early retirement. I took really out at 55. My wife Sylvia, 40 years, passed away in 08 from Parkinson's. She had it for 25 years. And so I took the last 10 years of her life and gave all of it. And that was a growing process. That was a process I never thought I'd have to face. But it was worthwhile for all of us. And so I'm very privileged about feeling with her. I've remarried. I'm 72, but at 68, I went on eHarmony, and it works, you know. I found her on eHarmony, and she was a tenured teacher at an elementary school in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for many, for 33 years, and moved up to Vancouver, Washington, and we linked up online, and it was kismet. I mean, it was a woman that I really fell in love with deeply, married 4 months later. And we live on Tanner Road, just down the road from you. And right now she's involved with the BIC, what she's calling the BIC, Visitor Information Center. She's doing the interiors and some of the art installations, and she's busy with that, and we're kind of working as a team around town. So that's what I am.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you guys like to introduce yourselves briefly and maybe say what brought you here?
I don't have your history, Dick.
If you remember.
Yeah. I can start if it's in order, however that works. Jim Lucky. And again, welcome.
Thank you.
We've watched people kind of come through and start and stop, and everybody's got a different life that kind of this fits into or not. So as far as this commission, as you say, that's one of the things that we love doing is kind of we're getting it. It's sometimes piecemeal, but if we are kind of the first blush on conversation before the council gets it. My background is just 20 years in real estate and general stuff, little development, a lot of brokerage, still playing that game.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
One of my very best friends deceased, Dick Zapp. And he was one of the first planners on the planning commission. And so I would sit here instead.
I'm Brendan Elwood. Lived in a lot of different places, traveled to a lot of different places, and my thing's always been if you're having issues or concerns or interests in something, it's better to be a part of the system than be standing on the outside complaining or applauding. So that's what motivated me to get involved here, especially with Ben. I was raised in Bozeman, Montana, and there's a lot of reminiscent elements here in North Bend to bring me back that nostalgic way and raising my kids here. So what a better place to be a part of the system and see it evolve, especially now that we're out of the moratorium and more things happening. So that's why I'm here. My background is psychology. Right now I'm a market research consultant. And it's a professional
move. What's
that? Yes, I do.
I'm a very good friend.
Are you? Okay.
He's serving on a couple's today.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm on the park commission with him. Mm-hmm. Then he left.
You're gone.
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah. You just have to hand out the cupcakes.
Yeah.
Well, I moved out once briefly, but my background's in engineering. I think I came onto this commission originally to. One, I felt like it was a part of my field that I wanted to kind of expand research and get it more inside the community. I live just outside of North Bend and wanted to be, I guess I didn't know a lot about what went on inside the city. I can tell you that it's easy to come and go and not really be a part of the city. So there was a definitely something there to be more of a part of the community and met a lot of cool people and just, you know, a lot of great relationships through this experience. I think similar to Brendan, I actually lived in Bozeman for 7 years, and this is a community that kind of fits the lifestyle that I like to be in, and so being a part of this is important. So.
I'm Gary Fancher, and I have a background in mortgage banking, and now I work in technology after 2007. I could say prior to moving to North Bend in 2003, I had a background in a lot of community involvement.
group of dogs?
I did.
You know Janice Hardy? Search and rescue team leader, which lives on Nittany Hill.
I did this on Sunday.
Baywatch.
No, this was Santa Clarita. It was Triangle Rescue. It's
okay.
Yeah. Standing over the
nice.
That's good to do that. There's some things I didn't know about this guy.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess item number four is the public hearing amendments to the North Bend Comprehensive Plan. Jamie, do you want to start with the introduction before the...
Sure. Tonight, as we said, we're going to be reviewing just an introduction and public hearing for any comment on the critical areas element of the comp plan. I think recently we've gone over visioning and schedule and scope of work and public participation, and we're mandated to revise and update our all our comprehensive plan by June of 2015. So this element, we anticipated, you know, there wouldn't be a lot of new information coming in. What we're trying to do is make things more concise, take things out that are either outdated or it's too much information. You know, we've been looking at Snoqualmie's their draft or their comprehensive plan that they updated. You know, here's just an example of, you know, in one page they have, you know, wetlands, have a picture, have some bold outs of highlights. You know, the next page is, you know, flooding. And so to make it more reader friendly, more interesting, but one option is we can take out, if this information, you know, is good for history or background, we can take it out and put it in an appendix at the back. But this is our first look, and we are required by the Growth Management Act, by countywide planning policies, and shoreline and FEMA for flood regulations to have goals and policies that protect our critical areas. And the five are wetlands, critical aquifer recharge areas, frequently flooded areas, geologic hazard areas, and fish and wildlife habitat conservation areas. In addition to that, we have the state SEPA, which is the State Environmental Policy Act, which evaluates projects for their environmental impact. And this is all codified in our code, mostly under Title 14. And so that's what is the regulation, the regulatory aspect of it. And so for this first look, you know, if you've had a chance, we can go through, we can talk about some points. If you need more time, that's okay too. As I said, we're just kind of starting this chapter and hoping to shrink it, hoping to be concise, waiting on a bit more of updated information. So in the comments, you know, we try to say why we're taking something out or what the status is. The countywide planning policies are interesting. If you'd like, you know, me to send you, I could send you a link for all of them, and then they have their environmental chapter. They're in total 61 pages, but the environmental chapter is maybe 4 or 5 pages, and we don't have to cite those and have golden policies that or directly mimic those, but it's just our framework, and we need to be consistent with them, or not be inconsistent with them. And they have gone also very much more generic than they used to be. Not generic, but they've gone much more high level. So they used to be a lot more specific and dialed in, and now it's much more broad. So. But still very, very good. And they have a King County 2030. So that's kind of their vision is looking out and, you know, what will King County be characterized by? And they say In the year 2030, our county has changed significantly in the roughly 40 years that have elapsed since the first county planning policies were adopted in 1992. In many ways, this is a result of successful private public partnership that has supported a diversified, sustainable regional economy and managed and accommodated growth while maintaining the quality of life and natural environment throughout King County. So that would be the goal, and then they have some characterizations under that. But
so I thought the section that you linked inside here, the EN policy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they talk about, you know, just, again, the big picture things of just maintaining our environment for future generations. I mean, that's important for the county policies. So anyways, I can leave it at that. And
is that an objective we should be thinking on, is more high level versus granular, or? Because there's a lot that looks like it's been trimmed, so
yeah.
I'm curious to see what the truncated versions have been.
Yeah, and I think that'll be next. Like I said, I think we'd like to put in some pictures of our local resources. You know, we don't mention some of them, like Tollgate and Meadowbrook Farm, you know, and just be more specific there in some ways where, you know, we want to protect these resources and this is kind of what we see in the future. Not getting into, you know, project detail or anything like that. And then, but in some cases, yeah, I think we could go a bit more global with it. So, and that's more goal and policy related, which honestly I haven't delved too deep into. The chapter itself, though, and the background information is where I think we can trim a lot, and then we can focus efforts on policies and goals. And there may not need to do a lot of change. Again, this is one of the chapters that we thought would be simpler and quicker, but we do have it open, and now is the opportunity. We may not visit it again for 7 years. So,
thank you for that. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on the critical areas element?
Some of the items that you were crossing off, actually, I would have thought you might want it to continue because there's some good specificity in it that help maybe a layman understand the type of things that the city would be responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my only caution would be striking out some of it might, while it makes it a bit more terse and maybe a little bit less voluminous, it kind of takes away some of the detail that maybe would be helpful for, I'm not sure if it would be helpful for you guys because of your knowledge and background with it, but maybe helpful for a layman to kind of understand what some of the programs like the GMA is about. Mm-hmm. So just a thought that before you get considered.
Mm-hmm. And like I said,
especially not necessarily up front. I like what you did up front.
Mm-hmm.
The areas in page 3 I thought were kind of good and mm-hmm. interesting to read through and I get a better understanding of what the GMA brings to the table and what the city does. But that's one person's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have further comments, please. You can submit them to us.
Those are opportunities for the appendix.
Yes. That is one idea that the Snoqualmie planner suggested is, and even in their goals, they went from like 300 to 50 or something. It was just, they really tried to be more succinct, but she said one idea is you can flip things, put them in the appendix, and then either bring them back in later, like if you look at it and it's thinned out too much, you can bring them back later, or you could decide to leave them there or take them off the appendices, so it's kind of just a holding bank. So we could do that in the interim. It might get a little choppy to read as far as when you're going from section to section, but save the bulk of the meat of what we take. And
well, then as we make it a live document on site, we just hyperlink it to wherever, so it's easy for that end of this.
So is there anybody else that wants to speak? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing for the critical area element of the North Brandon Comprehensive Plan.
just a general comment. I mean, most of the stuff that's here is, in fact, redundant to King County. We're almost referring that language is almost... We're going to have to fall back to that anyway, right?
Yeah, well, no, they guide... Their policies guide us, and like I said, they are very, very broad. There are a lot of local specifics that we'd want to include, and some of it, you know, that we proposed to take out was in part because it was kind of repeating a lot of King County's, but we have our own regulations, and we should have our own rules and policies, and that's what makes us unique. So I don't think that we're definitely not overlapping, you know, too much with King County and their policies, and then I think it's good to keep our regulations and our approach separate. A few times here, like I said in the comments, it seemed to meld the county with the city, and although we want to work cooperatively with them, you know, our regulations are different in some ways. So
I'd love to see them be less restrictive. But I know once they're there, you run up against it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys want to go one by one or page by page or anything at this point. Page by page.
I've got it here. I did get Rob's, wherever they are, Rob's comments. Right. See if anything pops out as we go through. One thing he kind of said on the first page, he agreed with the deletion, but he said, you know, one thing to think about is the vision and the introduction in the beginning of the comprehensive plan. Some of this might be able to move to there, or just to be cognizant of our wording, and, you know, we have multiple authors in the city that will be working on this, so if the vision and the introduction and the theme seems to kind of vary from chapter to chapter, it would be better to have it in one place and common and consistent and up front. So that's something we can think about here.
So Jamie, I agree with the spirit of trying to be thrifty, especially in the front section, the introduction, we do repeat some things. But there's some meaning in some of the lines that is a little bit different, and I almost want to keep those parts versus some of the below sections. So the second sentence that talks about the characteristics of the area are separate but highly connected. Okay, and a disturbance in one system can have a direct or indirect effect on the others. Well, you know, it's talking about just, you know, what happens with our rivers impacts the wildlife and the community, what happens, you know, in the mountains. Everything, you know, that's our tourism, that's our livelihood. I don't know that I found that same essence below, and so I'm not advocating to keep, you know, the whole section, but I want the wording to reflect some of that. And that second paragraph, I think, just talks about that quality of life in North Bend. Post-logging era, why do people flock here? It was because there are trails to hike, rivers to fish and to kayak in, mountain biking, horse riding. It's all about that in their livelihood that they love about the town.
So. Did you think that third paragraph, though, does talk about why people live here and why it's an attractive area?
Oh, yeah, and that's why... I think some way that there's a couple of words, it's not the whole paragraph.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's a duplication of a lot of it. There's just a couple of the keywords that I'm picking up that maybe are appropriate to keep.
Okay.
And I'm happy to be more specific.
Okay. And like I said, you had asked, I can email out a Word version as well.
Okay, it's my first meeting. When I look at changing a document like this, I look to see where has there been factual information become different than it was when it was enacted in 07 or When was it, 07?
07 or 3?
It was last updated in 07,
I consider everything else in a document like this relevant unless there's factual change. This is an update. This is not a rewrite. I think that, in my view, the language in this document, this chapter, was painstakingly written to give information to the citizens, not to the planners, not to the politicians, but this is a document meant for the citizens to read and understand, for us to follow. And so unless we have factual differences that we've uncovered in the last 6 years, changing documents just because they're long or duplicative for other documents doesn't make sense to me. We can't expect the community to have all these volumes of books at their disposal to find where we left off here and pick up somewhere else. This needs to be, in my view, fairly complete. And so I would disagree with changing or shortening this document just to make it easier to read. Because it does set the stage. It sets a point of view. Like Gary said, it talks about the quality of life, why we're all here, and it builds on that. And when you go through this, a lot of the volume that's been read, that's been outlined, is on the basis that it's mentioned somewhere else, or it's repetitive. And I say that where it is in the chapter at that moment is not repetitive for the reader. If somebody in the community wants to look up something about critical areas and go to that chapter, they'll find it there. They won't find a shortened version. They'll get a pretty good idea about what that chapter's about, and then find the goals and objectives as they were written. And so I'm a bit cautionary about eliminating so much of the language that was put in this document so many years ago by people who were just as thoughtful as us, who were putting something on the document that tells the citizens to read it what we're thinking. I don't think we're being good stewards by eliminating it because it's to be found somewhere else. I don't think the citizens who try to find a document that they're looking from have to be asked to go out and find all the references also. It almost hides the information, in my opinion. So I would caution about cutting up too much of what you've done here for the interest of brevity. If it's changed, it's new information.
Yeah, and I can highlight that.
And I have one word also. I think that when it comes to the landslide hazard areas, we need to look at that very carefully. We're talking about allowing permits in landslide prone areas. We need to be more careful about it. I think we better be damn careful about it. We need to treat that very, very seriously. We can't just abbreviate what we said before and forget it also even happened. I think we need to really look at that. And what are we doing about landslide areas? And what are we really thinking about? Are we protecting private property rights? We're trying to protect the people. Now, I'm a guy from timberlands. And believe me, I fought this battle on the other side for so long I can't tell you. But I've awakened to the reality that private property rights, as critical as they are, public safety is just as critical, if not more. And you have to tell people also about that. Private property rights is trumped by public safety. And so I would encourage us to get stronger in the landslide areas, not diminish it like we've done. And I would encourage us to consider keeping as much as we can in, not reduce it. I know this stuff is all electronically derived and you can click on links. I'm not there yet. I'm trying to get there, but I'm not as literate as most of the public is on electronics. So I rely upon some of my old ways. I suspect a lot of people out there feel the same way about that. They can't just link on to things as quickly as you can.
So, Jamie, to Frank's point, we've seen many maps to depict a lot of things, and I know where, you know, we can say, here are floodplains, here are aquifer recharge areas. I've never seen anything about where we have liquefaction or slide sensitive areas. Is that something that...
Yeah, and that's the other thing I didn't touch on is we have our GIS guy working on updates to our maps. There's a complete map set, so I guess I thought maybe the best approach would be to bring them all back as a set. We finished with a couple of them, but certain there will be updates to those specific ones. We can definitely look for the landslide hazard areas. We can look at our goals and policies specifically. I don't know, you know, with the comp plan, if we're going to get into the detail of regulatory, but we could definitely, we can do that at another meeting, and then we could look at our goals and policies and the comp plan. I have the complete map set, and again, these are the old versions, and they may not change much, but especially this one, I wouldn't think.
In the maps, it kind of gets into zoning and where we might want to, mm-hmm. you know, move things or place
sure.
things, but just knowing if we do have them,
sure.
you know, when I look back at the second paragraph, the second sentence on line 14, that has all been deleted
mm-hmm.
In areas where it may interrupt or
mm-hmm.
degrade natural ecological functions
mm-hmm.
and values, subject persons and properties to unsafe or hazardous
mm-hmm.
conditions or affect the perceived quality of life
mm-hmm.
in the community. That's exactly what Frank is, you know, talking about. That's been struck. Okay, sorry.
You've been calling me Bob for 2 years.
Okay, great.
I'm kidding. So, on that point, I just want to think it strikes me about the landslide, with all due respect to anything related to OSHA. I feel like we're fortunate in that our landmass doesn't factor that in very much because we've got flat topography for the most part. And maybe as we annex up the hill, we may have some issues.
We don't have any annexation
We do have bank-related homes.
Very stuff.
Erosion. The only landslide hazard area that we show currently on our map is right over here in this corner.
Forestwood.
Yeah.
Up above. But definitely what the county's doing with their regulations would impact us.
Jamie, was it 2003 when the earthquake caused some rocks off of Mount Zion to fall?
Sounds about right.
About somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that can be caused as, you know, what is
yeah.
it? It's an earthquake or is it a slide?
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay. So
but,
you're, yeah.
But to that
yeah.
point,
yeah.
you know, there's the essence of that
mm-hmm.
meaning.
Sure. Starting on the second, or on the next page, the five critical area elements that I listed off are in paragraph 4 on the first page, A, B, C, D, E. And so on the second page, those were listed in that format, and that's why I deleted them there. You know, if you think it's better to highlight them versus having them hidden in the paragraph, you know,
well,
we could do that.
A couple things here. I totally respect your point, Dick, because I was thinking about this whole task as somebody taking the document from beginning to end. And at the beginning is where you're getting all that precedent set, the spirit of what we're doing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is there will be quite a few readers that are jumping right to a specific chapter. And so that type of context is now omitted for them. But to that point, if I'm jumping to a specific chapter, I'm not so sure just from a reader or user standpoint if I want to wade through all that literature as opposed to get to the valuable points. So factual changes for sure, but there's also a lot of text here to have to sift through. And if I look at, say, a common person sifting through this, they may lose interest, they may get lost in it, something like that. And if we're going to the spirit of kind of contemporizing it, where we're going to have imagery, bubble call-outs, and those type of things, that might be one of those areas that we could take full advantage of to highlight specific things that may need to be double-clicked on a little bit more. So I like the cautionary point that, hey, let's don't cut too much, but at the same time, I'm seeing a need to, I don't want to waste my time sifting through too many words when I just want to get to the point of something. But those points are what should be called out, and seeing them in a paragraph form is valuable, but, you know, at the same time, seeing them in a bullet pointed list really gets, okay, mm-hmm. there it is. Now I found what I want, so I'm mm-hmm. not going to sit there for 2 hours reading through the chapter. Mm-hmm. So there may be a fine balance that we have mm-hmm. to really be careful of, but I do like...
Well, I like to take your side and argue with you. I think each time these documents are looked at, in the very beginning, mm-hmm. in the early 90s, they were a political document. Mm-hmm. People were trying to persuade population of the correctness of what we were doing when the Growth Management Act came up. It was totally political. Every paragraph was laden with political terms to convince the public that of the correctness of what was being done. And the people get it. Over the years, over the last 20 some odd years, the people begin to get it, begin to get more trusting of groups like ours. Our agenda here is just to make it easier to use. We're not trying to hide anything. I know we're not trying to hide anything. I'm just saying that by working with them for so long, we realize there's a lot of things that are being said that aren't really to the point. And I get that. And I get that because I was a part of that. And so we're all part of that. But I thought that my words were gold. I wrote this stuff down. Don't you dare edit it. And I realized that it was just nonsense. A lot of it was just trying to convince the next guy of the correctness of my position, so I put it down and also they all voted on it. Yeah. And that's how you find this stuff so lengthy in here, is that it's all been voted
it's all
on
about persuasion.
To get the compromise needed. So I understand that. But at some point we do get down to the road and we start thinking about cutting stuff out that is critical and that the reader understand how we get down to the goal point. I'm just cautionary about all the stuff that's being done. Not having been a party to this comp plan, but others, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm just saying that from my perspective, I'm very cautious about cut and paste all the stuff.
Yeah, and that rigor has to be employed on every sentence we decide to omit. Absolutely. I mean, so
we're agreeing.
Absolutely. But I like the way you called that out, because I had been thinking about it from a different approach. Okay, so maybe I should be a little bit more tender here and there.
So can you tell me, would you like to have the bullets called out on page 1, the A, B, C, D, lines 29,
30,
31? Well, because you got a point. If you find it, I've got it, I'm good, I'm done. Or do you want me to read the paragraph?
See, I'm more for that approach. I want to get the information quick. I'd like to open a document, flip through a couple pages, and boom, there it is. So those are the key points. When they're listed out like this, it's like, wow, I got to wade through all that text to get there. That may be lazy, but it's also, maybe efficiency is a euphemism for laziness, but
I agree.
Matters,
no, I agree. Yeah. I would like it better bulleted out. I think it makes the statement.
And if we're going to go into
need
more
to keep
of
the second page, but
sure.
On the first page.
And if we're going to go into a more infographic type of document style as opposed to a legal draft, which is what this is, then that's where we can get clever with boxes and imagery. Mm-hmm. And so maybe another step to this is, as we're analyzing all of these things and we're looking for those key points and looking for those changes, if we do have images or some sort of sense of what should go there in place of that, then we either make mm-hmm. notes of that, or if staff has recommendation for where we can employ that. Mm-hmm. But those are things worth considering.
I noticed in Snoqualmie, some of their historical stuff, like when the flooding was, or when the ESA was adopted, and that was in a bubble form, and so it was just, oh, you drew your attention to that page, and that's really informational and useful. Mm-hmm. So the next area is the countywide planning policies, and those references, the FW4 CA2, those are referencing the old countywide planning policies, which they amended. So that's why that was taken out.
I was just going to say that, I totally agree with everybody's, I agree with the points of view, and that there has to be enough information to provide context while still getting to the point. But this is something that's been consistent with, I think, a lot of the changes we've made over the last couple of years, is to try and create a document that is a little bit more user-friendly. It's not, if you were to print out the whole thing, then it's just all. And so I think we've kept this in mind with, and everything's changed, and now you go onto the internet and you can get into these things. You can sift through the information a lot quicker, and I think people expect to be able to get information faster. Of course, everybody gets their information differently, but and maybe that's where the appendices and things like that for folks who have different styles of how they want to interpret the information or take it in. But I think it is consistent with just the way people want information these days. They want it quickly. They want to see a lot in the headline. They want to understand half of it. Well, they're not going to get it in this document. You have to be willing to sit down and read a document like this. But
How searchable is this online? I mean, just a generic, somebody wants to tap into our
website.
You can search keywords. You can get it highlighted. You can work your way through it fairly quickly.
The chapters are usually separately referenced. And
yeah.
And that helps a little bit to kind of
the subject, yeah.
No, but I mean, if I upload it to PDF, I can search within that document for words. You know, so that if I had an interest in riparian slope tissue, whatever, I could actually find it.
If you're PDF savvy.
And the other thing I think is important in here is to link more back to the regulations to show, you know,
full context.
Look here, and that's where we reference. Well, we do have the shoreline management regulations. Look in the shoreline element, or look in the code. And so, it does end up being a map, but all the information is there then, and it's tied to something. You know, we do have regulations under here that implement this.
So I don't know if anybody has anything else on page 2, but down on line 49 and 50, talks about the city is required to implement the East King County Groundwater Management Plan. Is that no longer required? Is that just old from...
That is one of the pieces, the WAC, I'll double check that WAC reference. We do talk in detail about the Groundwater Management Plan further down. This is referencing one of the King County-wide policies. So the groundwater management plan, the what was the other one? There's the ESA.
Is it down on page 5? It says regional groundwater protection planning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I was paying more attention to what's been deleted than not changed.
Yes. And there it mentions the policy. I have to look in here to see if it's probably still not worded that way. But I've emailed the county to find out the update, and I'm sure that it still applies. I think the plan has been updated though. So we would want to reflect, reference to that new plan.
That takes care of my next 3 questions. Anybody else on page 2 or page 3?
I haven't gotten off one.
Okay. Sorry.
On a pointed thing, the other one just overall view of it. In the very last 44 to 47, where we're talking about that the North Bend area is listed as potential habitat. Is that legal text, potential habitat?
47? Or wait, what'd you say?
On line 44.
44.
I mean...
Yeah, this seems a
little... Is that a legal phrase, potential habitat?
Potential habitat or a contributing environment for 2. Yeah, and that's what we left those quotation marks around, so the critical area is significant environment. I believe that it is, and
but
I will double check that.
What is potential habitat? How's that defined?
Are they trying to populate or remove it? I don't know.
Yep.
In all seriousness? You can't have the salmon.
No, but the water going down.
The water going down.
To there.
I agree. I'm with the water. The water quality coming off the falls has to be as best as can be. No question about that. So I understand that.
I'm not sure that's a legal term of all lawyers. I can't. But it doesn't seem to me as a legal term because of the last part of the sentence, which is, though none have been found in the immediate North Bend area. So when I read this, I see it as... If there is comeback, or if there is a way to reintroduce or somehow bring those 2 species back, those particular habitats would be a good choice for that. So don't wreck it.
They were here once.
Yeah, now they're not. So if they ever come back, if there's some natural or man-made movement to do that, but I'm just speculating.
But can we constrain property rights on the basis of some theory like that.
Right. And see, if it's not a critical area, let's not talk about what it might become a critical area someday.
Yeah. I will research that and see if that is a legal term. I know there are a lot of definitions, and so I guess.
And I'm respectful of the law and of what's, but that doesn't seem like, that doesn't register with me that that's almost a taking.
It's like it might someday the people might land on that tree.
If we never log in their tree in some quality tree farm, it'll be an old growth forest. That's not going to happen. It's a potential habitat.
Potential habitat.
So that was my point. Let's look at that. If it sticks, it sticks, but I question that.
Any more on page 2?
I went and looked at the CWPs, and I agree with you, reluctantly, but I agree with you. If you click on the CWPs, you're going to get all the wonky stuff you want.
I still think I will still be taking a real close look through and making sure that is there anywhere where a bit we don't speak to it enough or a little bit negligent on some of their policies, but like I said, they are pretty broad, so I think
it seems like I'm talking too much, but it also seems like the city is deferring to King County in many areas. Well, we're autonomous in that. We do overlap in terms of water issues, SEPA, things like that. But other than that, we're our own body here. So I don't mind deferring to them because they have a lot of wisdom, but I wouldn't.
And we took out some of the connections to them.
And those are important connections. Yeah. And it comes later on in your document, too, which I think we need to retain communications with them. Mm-hmm.
Can I just go back on the potential? Were you thinking legal in the sense that before that sentence it's saying at the federal level there's a mandate where we have to protect threatened or endangered species of animals?
I agree with that. Though.
Okay, because if that's the case, then protecting that, if there's a potential habitat to protect those threatened species, then it would seem in some level that we would want to keep that language in there to protect that habitat in order to protect that threatened species. But if the threatened species aren't there, then it would be more of a statement to protecting the species as opposed to the habitat, right? So I'm trying to figure out the legal conundrum here. Is that where you were headed with the potential habitat?
It's, for me, it's an overlay. It's an overlay of an issue that hasn't existed in recorded time. It's a potential habitat. We have spotted owl potential habitats everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we come to an agreement that unless the trees are older than 80 years, it's not spotted owl habitat. We can manage 50, 60-year-old trees without worrying about spotted owl.
Okay.
Potential habitat seems like it's just going to lay a blanket over everything. Mm-hmm. I worry about that. If you say spotted owl, let's put some conditions on it. Let's talk about it. What exists. That's all I'm saying. That's a phrase that's apple pie. It sounds great, but I worry about how it's interpreted when it comes down to the code situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have our, no net loss. That's what's overarching. And so if this is getting at that, it's potential and you're not further harming. You don't have to improve habitat because it's not listed and it's not endangered, but it's a no net loss, then we're meeting that with our regulations. So
yeah, it's just the federal mandate part is what I think needs to be burrowed into because if the mandate is simply to protect the species, the threatened or endangered species, mm-hmm. to me that rings that the species is existing right now. You must preserve it. But the species is not existing now.
Yeah.
Is there extensions to that mandate that say even though the species do not exist, but they formerly existed in that habitat, then you must protect that habitat, then that would be something that would make sense as to why we're preserving it here. Mm-hmm. But if the species no longer exists and you imply an 80-year rule, such as what you're intending, then perhaps there's no reason to have language in there because there's no legal requirements. However, going back to the preservation of our environment and why people are here, we may find that in the spirit of preserving that broader sense, this type of language would then be helpful to have. Appreciate you. Just didn't want to lose focus on the potential the mandate.
Potential
definition.
Alright. Page 2. Last call. Hearing none. Page 3. Anything?
Well, okay. I find that essay 11.4 is that's a good thing. I work good on that.
And the numbering is what's changed. The policies are staying. So just
the line 22 to 25 where it talks about watercourses. And development occurs, blah, blah,
page
blah,
four.
On page 4. As you read through it, you come up to the terms, watercourses often realign.
Mm-hmm.
If they're realigned, they violated SEPA.
Yeah.
What do you mean they're realigned? We should be calling the law on those realigned course people. So that's on line 23.
Yeah.
Natural watercourses
yes.
often realign. If it's being realigned as a part of a development, or
The only realignment would be a Type C conveyance channel, which is feeding stormwater groundwater flows. It's in our critical area regulations, but it doesn't have a buffer, and it can be piped and moved, but otherwise. I agree. They're not often realigned. That's
not by development.
This seems like it's the way it's written in this. It's an occurrence that is accepted. There should be some stipulations as if it is realigned, how it's happened, how that
sure.
happens. In my opinion,
a stormwater course rather than a water course.
Mm-hmm.
Make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Water course suggests that everything from a trickle to a river.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's this line, right? How do we clean it up?
Well, the way water moves, groundwater, surface water, what is the other one that's deep below?
And that you could just say, and natural water courses change.
And later it says such landscape changes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the sentence, it's talking about how land has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Paving exists, topography has changed. And natural water courses often realign. And if that happens without a permit, they're in trouble.
I honestly, I think about the, is it Terex that owns the hydraulic lifts, and Secon built that big facility. It's 60 acres, and they paved most of it. What did that do to the water drainage of the area?
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I can understand how development can impact groundwater and how it's absorbed and transferred somewhere else. And so obviously, it's being absorbed in a greater part on another part of that parcel versus spread out through that land. So does that speak to this section? Without having somebody of an expert to understand, really, does that make sense? Does that hold true? But when you have, you talk about some of the larger pieces of land, if we have a shopping center, that's certainly going to impact groundwater.
Yeah. The natural water course.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some swell or some way to accommodate or mitigate.
So, yeah, the next sentence does say such landscape changes can alter the way water moves. Maybe it's addressed there, and we can take off the last. I think it's confusing, that last.
I've had one.
I think you just think what you can see when you think water, but you're right, the aquifer, like, those types of movements of water really was...
I understand, like, our groundwater underneath the city of North Bend from talking to a hydrologist, and what he explained is, you know, 35 feet below in some areas, right, is pretty close to the surface, and you picture a hand with fingers, and over time, that erodes parts of rock, and they join, and then they move into another course, so... mapping out what's underneath us is not even easy just with nature.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. I also think about it from the other way of a large development having an impact. You know.
And it's that, yeah, because
60 homes, you know,
they're going to have to realign the water movement somehow in those developments. So,
yes.
With the development, they're saying often it's aligned, right? So I look at it that
way. So you, I mean, so maybe that's something to account for.
Warehouses are offset.
Yeah.
When they drilled the well on Tocal Creek for the ridge, they had to yield some water rights they had on the surface. They had water rights over 80 years on Tocal Creek. They had to give up some of that to be able to yield groundwater out of the Tocal site. So that was balancing the act. They understood that. That's exactly what you're saying.
I look at it as more flow, surface flow mitigation type thing.
Yeah.
Groundwater absorption, those type of things. And when I see it, it's just natural water sources. It's vague and broad enough that, yeah, if a development comes in, water's going to shift because you're changing the natural land site. And so that often occurs.
I get a picture, though, of somebody with a cat pushing the channel in a similar direction. Because it seems to be consistent with that sentence. Mm-hmm. It's talking about changing the land.
Yeah, yeah.
And the water courses often changes. I just see a guy with a cat moving it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a permanent movement too, right?
Changing the land is part of it. Yeah. You know, a lot of developments are bringing in fill.
Or you try to accommodate with pervious type materials.
So, down on the bottom of page 4, there was a sentence added. Would it make sense to highlight reduction on non-permeable surfaces, something to that effect?
I like that added sentence.
Where'd you go, Gary?
Line 47 to 48, yeah. There's a sentence added, so I'm just, I don't have a sentence in my head, but something about reduction of non-permeable surfaces. Different, you know, where we're talking about the low-impact development, having parking on one side, not both sides of the street.
Limiting impervious. I would love to add more low-impact lingo throughout here.
A couple bottles of Cabernet.
We can put it in here. We can put it in here and point out how we can improve the low-impact development.
Was there a suggestion on that? Natural water courses often realigned? Do you think it's...
Well, I mean, it almost seems you could say as development occurs... Landscape changes can alter the way water moves, add existing hazards associated with natural drainage systems. I mean, there are some examples in there, native vegetation and absorption topsoils.
Yeah.
Those are just giving examples of what the development can, how the development can impact the land. But the bottom line is the landscape changes.
Yeah.
That's the main impact. So if often realigned is going to be confusing to readers, I just suggest we could scratch that whole.
I know this is old, but if I'm a developer, I expect to be walked off in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
If I get into the water,
sure.
The most precious source we have in the state that we're protecting, if I get in the water and change it, that just can't be allowed unless there's a permit, unless I'm going to build a dam or something, you know? That just seems to be so casually mentioned, it just disarms me. That's all.
So are you thinking,
well,
because
and maybe, yeah, maybe the
regulations got to lie.
That's not striking. It doesn't make any sense to be in that sentence.
Well, you could just say landscape changes can alter the way water moves. I mean, that's a fact. That's a true statement.
Yeah.
It's not that we would permit it by development.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking is if we go, as development occurs, landscape changes can alter the way water moves, add to existing hazard associated with natural drainage systems, and affect habitat, recreational, and scenic value of water resources. It kind of says it all.
Yeah, except that our development wouldn't allow. This is kind of a doomsday, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Our development wouldn't allow. We wouldn't permit development that would cause
damage,
hazards,
yeah,
and problems. We have the no net loss. We would.
This is like the preamble.
Yeah, this is
two
just
paragraphs. So,
yeah,
this is what we're paying attention to.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, you'd strike often because every time you do anything different than to it, you take a tree out, you do something, you're realigning something. So it's, you know, it's a fact of what, by doing anything to the natural land, you're going to realign something.
I would say landscape changes can alter the way water moves and the rest of that sentence.
But we have all these buffer requirements, you know, they have to keep us away from the water. Just to accept that as a course of business is difficult for this person.
So Gary, I'm going to circle back and see if we can't fix that part of the conversation. And I'm proposing we add a period after the word change on line 23, striking the following words through that sentence. Seems like the concept is picked up again on line 24.
So you are proposing right here on the screen to just delete that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I agree.
The things I was just saying strike out such landscape changes all the way to the end of that, right?
No, I think
just
that
part.
That part covers the piece that was kind of running everybody the wrong way. We've still got the acknowledgement of water issues, drainage systems, etc.
Well, you know, and I think the only, if I were to guess what the spirit of that point is that it's a blanket statement to cover everything else that wasn't exampled before. You know. Because, yeah, vegetation absorbent, you've hit the high-level ones. Maybe there's some down the road that we don't know about or we're not accounting for, so we can make that as an open statement to be interpreted by law later on.
Any disagreement?
Probably. So we just call that administrative. Yeah. Maybe the vote. Okay.
Rob is so casual, so I'm trying not to be too by the book.
He wears a tie on case too.
I didn't realize your position here, Rob.
No.
Okay, anything else on page 4, or are we on to page 5?
Where are you getting one more thing on line 31 on page 4? That 380 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that coming from?
Rob had circled that as well. So originally, a combined area. I'll check that with the county.
I think it's larger. That's only 240,000 acres.
So this is the South and Middle Forks.
Yeah. Up to the Cascade. I think it's larger than that. 243,000.
In 1 mile? Mm-hmm. Oh, 1 square mile?
No, 1 square mile, 640.
640.
It's a section.
Okay, I will check that number.
Township is 6x6.
This guy Dick has got a lot of
I know, that's, yeah, I know I've seen that probably somewhere.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Thank you
very much
for letting me join. So
that's something
you've got to do. Yes, I will look into that.
Page 5? It's something you'll get to us later?
Yeah, you know, they say in line 20, revise the plan as necessary by 2005. I emailed them 2 weeks ago and I haven't heard, so I will follow up on that and try to get some answers to what the status is. I do know that the city is undergoing, we have a contract with Gray and Osborne to do some wellhead protection work. So that is also one of our maps in the figure set, and so I will find out the update on that, and it's a little ways out, I think, but looking at wellhead protection areas and is something that Public Works is undergoing separate from this, but it obviously plays into it.
26.
Jim, hearing almost every page where the comment is some of the discussion above and all that, I'm still holding to my point of view that I just think we're cutting too much of that out.
Sure.
So.
Well, those are, like that one, for example, would be good for almost a bubble call out or a link to those study references,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we've just made a point about, you know, groundwater management and so forth, and then we're citing some different studies and whatnot. It would be great to have some access to some of those,
mm-hmm.
perhaps, more factual.
I think probably the last sentence could still go. Obviously, as a part of updating our plans and our maps, you know, we, as new information is available. But yeah, the other I would agree. It's good information.
Anything else on 6? 7?
I made a comment regarding page of item 46 to 49. That's in the comment primarily where we're saying that the citing of King County approaches and regulations is not necessary in our comp plan. I disagree with that. They control through CEPA what we do with issues like that.
We control through CEPA channel migration. The county maps it. But other than that, we don't. We have not adopted any of the county's critical channel migration rules or regulations. So.
Well, the county, you know, acting on behalf of DOE, is what I'm saying. Actually, DOE sets the standard. The county enforces it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't enforce it in
mm-hmm.
inside
city limits. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have commented on that, you know, to us. They, when we did our critical areas ordinance, we chose not to regulate channel migration zones. We chose to recognize them on the map and then parcel by parcel address it through CEPA. And that is very different than what the county does. Seeing if there was anything here that so on the towards the bottom of page 8, you know, on 47, you can see where we describe the CMZs. If you think that some of the information above is useful or appendice worthy or something, we can look at that.
Oh,
sure.
I would say anything that cites specific documents or studies are definitely worthy of that,
mm-hmm.
just because it could provide the reader with additional
mm-hmm.
context should they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets the stage for why we are choosing to do something or not do something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there
are cases.
Yeah, the challenge is some of this, like on page 821, line 21, it references a policy adopted in 93 in the county. Hard to say if that policy still exists, if it's applicable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we can, if we have the time, we can take it to look into all of this. But some of it could be outdated information, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
One thought on it. I mean, so it's frequently flooded areas. There's not a lot of, I mean, some of it is been mentioned previously, but the one thing, I guess, if we're going to try and make it a softer document is the whole, when we talked about the high events and when they occurred, that was very interesting to me to, like, see what years
yeah.
we're trying to associate with that, and maybe
yeah.
showing, like, that as a chart
yeah.
that should show the magnitude of those floods and how they, you know, ranked. I know it's not
yeah.
even, but that's something that would be like, oh,
yes,
cool,
absolutely.
Like, how big
yeah.
were those things? And,
yeah.
Was there any trends? In
yeah.
Yeah, gets down to data, chart, graph.
Those flood situations were the first time I've ever seen the cities get together, meet in the same room at the middle school. And both mayors were there working together to solve this flooding issue because it was going through both towns. I've never seen the cities ever do that. They always were separate, doggedly separate. But on this issue, they came together. It's an amazing piece of work.
This is getting off topic. Not that we haven't.
So having that, at least graphing that, that information is very important.
Well, I guess I was just going to ask this because you've been running through it all. So there was flooding in 86, 89, 90, 95, 96. There's been a pretty good gap. Has there been certain mitigations that have been reasons why we haven't seen the same type of flooding?
Well, they agreed upon the channel issue at the falls. Took years to get that done, but that was a joint agreement between both cities. They also did some armoring against all policy. They rearmed some shorelines that were not holding up and causing failure. And the idea was to get the water down the falls as quickly as possible. But, it was up. Yeah. What's over the falls is over the falls. But no, I don't. Yeah, you're right. I'm off topic. But I'm just saying the point. Make that point of yours a little more critical.
Yeah,
well,
and
that year period was an era for this community that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and again, the North Plain, the floodplain management plan is going to go into a lot more detail. But I agree. I think that's important history to call out.
So on page 8, all the way up until line 30, you're in King County references, and I agree with, you know, getting rid of the old stuff and just referencing. But on line 32, you start talking about our rivers, and I'm not sure why that's just in the location and where they are, and, you know, how they're currently connected.
Okay, that's a good point, yeah.
Well, is there still frequent maintenance happening on the levees?
Yes.
I've never seen anybody in my backyard.
They come out and look at it.
They're doing everybody else.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're
looking for that weep hole to let it out, let the pressure off their neighbors.
And I'm assuming CMD is the critical management zone, but there's a few that it doesn't. I just
define.
Just define them first.
Yep.
Anything else on page 8? Page 9.
Would you concede to an old forester on line 23, first word, changing uniform to managed?
And you're on page
9.
Sure.
Managed suggests even age, but uniform is not a term in the forest management world.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else on 9? Page 10, water and related resource goals and policies.
Is there a reason that we don't tie the goals with the sections?
That's what we're trying to do better. Because we're not through all of the chapter yet, so we've brought a bunch of them forward. We did lump water and related, so...
I guess that was the bigger hit. Okay, so,
yeah,
that's what I mean. So you're doing it then.
We are, but this one does lump all of your water related, so... wetlands, storm, flood. So,
I mean, and this is just throwing out. I don't know if there's.
We could try to tie the flood regulations right underneath. the flood discussion. I think that's...
I mean, you could put the policies right up front in the section and just go straight to policies and then have the discussion afterwards. And that kind of gets to the the person who wants to just get to the beat, boom, there's your policies, and then those who want to understand. And that's just a, that would be a formatting change, but I just throw that out there.
Almost bullets.
Well, I mean, but you get this right up front. Yeah. It kind of satisfies that, that reader. But then the other reader who wants to continue to get into depth has the section behind it.
Yeah, so Kwame actually did it even a little bit different. They put all their goals and policies together from all the chapters in the front of the comp plan. Then you go through and you have, you know, your discussion of flood hazards, history of floods.
And that makes sense, you know, kind of going back to the point Dick brought up earlier, where from a reader standpoint, from beginning, middle, end flow, that makes sense. And if they're not included in the chapters, that kind of screws up the guy who's, or gal who's going right in for the main topic. Mm-hmm. If all the goals and points are at the very beginning, like a little conference or something.
So you're saying you'd rather have them in the chapter?
I don't know. I think it's open for discussion on that, because I like them all up front, because then I know, here's the meat of what I'm looking at, or here's the points I'm trying to get at.
You know, the sustainability chapter that was one of the more recent ones that we updated, we put the goals and policies with the discussion topic. So that's what we tried to do here, but the water one lumped them a bit. We could, they fit a little bit better as you go further down.
Yeah.
You know, fish and wildlife habitat, fish and wildlife goals.
Yeah.
That's right there.
Yeah.
But we can try to parse these out, and some overlap, but...
Are we still online on page 10?
Sure.
Line 22 through 26. The subject in there comes up about access to rivers. Allow it for and incorporate public access to rivers and streams when it is determined, blah, blah, blah. That's an open statement that provides access either through public or private property. Is this a document where you point that out, that we're talking about access across public land to the rivers?
It'd be good to reference the Shoreline Master Program that details all that, because we did specify in there that no private property.
The shoreline regulations and the shoreline element, I mean, hit at this throughout. That's why I took it out of here, because it's addressed there.
See, I'm a perfect example of that, aren't I? I just parachuted in, and I found this. I didn't realize it was somewhere else. So I'm going to go to the city council and make a comment about this, and it would be silly, because it's already taken care of. So it's good to reference it.
Yeah. And I'll make sure we reference Shoreline.
It's good to have fresh eyes.
Yeah.
All right, page 11. Page I got to. So, page 12.
I thought that line 29 was particularly good.
And our code has done that. So that's one that we could take out, but if it's helpful to have in, you know, I think it's fine to leave in too.
Yeah. I'm all the way down to line 48.
It should, because that's what you're looking at. Yeah.
Could you tell us, are we required to?
Well, that's where following.
This is probably a document you get away with. It's more in the regulations.
Yeah. That's where following the next page is where I am waiting on clarification on what plan that and I will get that because I believe that if I can't get it from King County, I'm sure Gray and Osborne, the consultant, has that. But yeah, that's a good point. It's a lot of different things.
Time check, is everybody good to keep going? It's 8:25. I'm trying to get to the end.
I have an excuse to be here till 9 o'clock.
For another couple pages?
Another couple pages.
Yeah, not all of them. Alright, page 13. All this is going to come later.
Yeah.
There's a couple sections where we have that.
Yeah. This and the ESA discussion about proposed 4D rule, and it's in effect, but again, I think we can probably, I'm waiting on legal input and county, but even the King County and City of Seattle comp plan, their ESA discussion is a paragraph and probably has a hyperlink to. If you want to look up all the federal regulations on ESA, again, we have to comply with them if they're triggered, but we don't need to spend 3 pages, you know, detailing it.
So, on page 14, line 16 through 19, the comment is the city's not responsible for inspecting and reporting on septic tanks. And so, should there be something if you're notified that a septic tank has failed, what the action required is?
I'm trying to think if that hasn't come up. I know, for example, Carnation had, DOE had said in the 80s, you know, this whole area in the downtown has failed septic and they're potential health risk. I don't think it triggered the city to have to do anything, but when the city did put in sewer, everybody hooked up. It wasn't an option. But I do see, now that you pointed this out, it says, due to failing sewer and septic systems.
What line is it?
16. So I think we might want to, in light of everything, leave the sewer part in there and maybe reword that. Again, we do have a sewer comp plan, so that probably is the details of the monitoring maintenance. Maybe it's not necessary. You have every kind of comp plan imaginable, but
maybe somewhere we gotta put. I gotta find that better online.
I will check if the Department of Health has determined there's a failed septic tank. We have a provision in our code that would let you do a one-time fix. That hasn't come up.
So if you're outside a ULID,
if you don't have it within 300 feet, we cannot require it. If it is within 300 feet, the one-time fix, now it's not a complete replacement, you would have to pay to get the line to you.
After the one-time fix.
Well, I don't, a one-time fix, but I don't believe, you don't get a one-time replacement if it's within 300 feet. You can't replace. You would have to bring the line.
In the real world, you can fix probably cost what it takes.
And fix what costs.
Or replacement. But for these newly annexed areas where they don't have lines, ought to be able to fix their systems rather than contaminate them.
Denner, particularly.
Yeah, or replace them.
That line isn't available to town residents. It's going to some company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you're more than 300, then yes, you would be able to do the one-time fix or replace.
Or more than 300 from the line.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still, I think needs some revision.
Mm-hmm. Revision in the sense that, like, what we're finding with here where we mention but we're omitting things that talk, well, in this example, sewer and septic. We're omitting it because it's referenced in another document.
Mm-hmm.
So would it just be a blurb that sewer and septic issues reference, blah, blah, blah.
In that management plan.
That way, to your point, going to city council and feeling like, well, hey, where's the septic? And so, yeah, it's like, oh, well, it's in the city document. Well, where's that? It's in the library.
You would keep the policy because it would take corrective action to remove any sewer or septic as stated in your sewer contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you still have the policy but it references with.
Now our sewer plan is not going to have anything related to septic except that it's prohibited. I mean, you know, and we don't regulate it or maintain it, but
well, that's
something we might have to.
Yeah.
Page 15, fish and wildlife habitat.
So just, you know, the reuse of the word critical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think sensitive was used in place of critical, so it
didn't
sound too redundant in the word critical?
Yeah, it used to be, the term changed with critical areas ordinances. Mm. They used to be coined more sensitive areas. Now, critical areas is kind of defined.
So maybe we change the other ones where we're saying it's critical to do this. We change that to.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when I see a repeat word, preservation of critical areas for habitat use is critical in sustaining wildlife.
I too.
And in retaining.
Oh, you know why? Because I did place all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe switch them out.
Yeah, switch them back.
That's a good thing for Microsoft, word flip.
Yeah.
Replace this word
to critical site design. Yeah.
Find and replace.
Good catch.
Well, you go to next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except when there's 200.
250. I did think there was some criticals. Like, and I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense right there. I was just like, there's a few of them in there.
Okay.
I haven't pointed them out because I didn't want to be like nitpicking on the
dust. Dang, now I do have to go through all of
them. On line 20. I think that's an impossible sentence. Protect and enhance wildlife habitat areas within the city and its UGA. We're developing everything we can in the city. I don't think you can protect habitat or even enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have defined areas? It says areas, so unless there's like, maybe there's a way to say within protected areas or something like that.
Something like that, because God knows.
That's a good point.
We're fighting.
Well, the
right
wildlife
now.
Habitat areas are
defined.
That's defined in one of our maps. Well, it's defined as, because we have no listed or endangered species, which like the eagle would have a bubble, it's the stream buffers, basically. And then wetlands would have some too, but they would have fish and wildlife habitat value. But it's essentially the stream and river buffers.
But your migratory animals, your land animals, they traverse a lot more area than shorelines.
Yeah, and your elk and all that. Yeah,
and they're being bucked up against now with our plans, which is their fault. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, that's protected and enhanced. That's a tall order.
We're making a goal that's impossible to keep.
You mean to recognize, or it's
strive to
wherever possible, but
just
to make it flat out, we can't do that.
Yeah,
right. You bring up a good point, and it really, you know, pains me.
Yeah, pains me too.
That is a true statement.
I had. We bought our home. We called it Elk Run because there's elk occupied the spot. We've been there for 5 years. They don't come around anymore. It's not because we're there, but things are shifting.
Well, they put up signs off
I-90. Yeah. That's
right. They used to go right across the river. I took a drink out of my kitchen window. They didn't do that anymore.
So I'm not sure behind that goal.
It's a feel-good goal, but it's not accomplishable.
But it came about at one point. where the city's in a moratorium, and that was an easy statement to make.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about our urban growth boundary, does the city have any plans to purchase land that would be an open space for habitat? Because that's the only thing I could see.
Not new land, I mean.
We could create new parkland, which would mm-hmm. be, you know, somewhere where they could migrate through to access mm-hmm. their channels.
And I mean, that, again,
that's the goal. That's where you're going to have to go to.
We're required to maintain, protect and maintain. And usually, if you're doing a mitigation project, you are enhancing, but...
Maybe it's the broad statement of wildlife habitat areas.
Because
mm-hmm. they're further in talking about specific corridors.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's more of a, okay, I can conceptualize what a corridor is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, animals are migrating through here. It's a development. We have to somehow give them that highway, maintain it. Whereas when I'm reading the first one, now that we're thinking about it, the wildlife habitat areas, it's like, wow, my front yard's wildlife.
Well, the third sentence, line 5, wildlife habitat areas associated with streams, wetlands, and their buffers, mm-hmm. along with public open space.
How about as defined below, or something, or strive to, whenever possible,
mm-hmm.
something that is an out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is a goal, not a policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sounds good.
But you don't want a citizens' brigade coming in saying, you're not following me, you're not pursuing this goal aggressively enough.
I tried on the other
side.
Yep. Alright, page 16. I'm assuming we're done with 15.
Yeah.
16, 17, and pretty much 18 is the ESA discussion that I'm
mm-hmm.
looking to revisit again. If it's useful information you guys want to include in an appendix, we can. But based on what I've seen so far, we definitely have a lot of detail in here.
So do we go to page 18, line 40, geologically
sure.
hazardous
mm-hmm.
areas?
Mm-hmm.
Is that our next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is looking hopeful. Everybody saved it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it got short.
Suddenly we're at page 20.
Okay. So page, the bottom of page 18
mm-hmm.
and page 19, anybody have anything?
Yes. I really, that all that strikeout from 30 to 30, I really want to be left in.
Mm-hmm.
For the obvious reasons that we're dealing with up north. I think we ought to get some stronger language in that paragraph, or in that
mm-hmm.
section. About landslides. We've blown her off, and I'm part of the problem here, you guys, so I'm pointing the finger right at me.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem here, we landowners have forced the communities to go light on landslide issues. That was just a boogeyman. We all thought that was just something to stop growth. But the fact is that you've got a certain carrying capacity of a slope. When you undermine the toe, it's going to come down under certain circumstances, and that's a fact. And that also thing is flat out proved that they even knew it was going to happen, they still did. We don't have landslides, but we do have rock hazard here, and we do have freezing and thawing conditions where rocks can come rolling down. You just go down to Moon Valley and so on and see that every day.
Yeah, it does call it the top.
Would that be a good blurb on page 19 for, like, in whatever
so.
Year the rock slide from Mount Si happened?
Mm-hmm. That
would be a nice little...
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just...
Mm-hmm.
Or seismic hazards, which is on the...
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that there, and just reference the recent landslide here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's up to mind for everybody, and catastrophic and direct result of.
We even have some activity in our backyard here, just like over at Twin Falls, so that's slid out, and that's closed right now, and it's right on the edge of us. So.
Mm.
There's other action happening close to us. So. I mean, obviously that wasn't to the magnitude, but...
Yeah.
So on play following four to, lines 4 to line 9, I'd keep that in. Same thing, it talks about how earthquakes could cause landslides.
Oh, where are you at again?
Page 20.
Oh.
Page 20.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 9.
Okay.
And I really think we ought to rethink that on lines 18 to 21. It's unreasonable to restrict remaining undeveloped land. I think that needs to be rediscussed. That's in your wheelhouse, Jim.
So, what we're saying here is reasonable or not reasonable. That's kind of a gray topic already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm just thinking that we really are sidestepping the issue. It's unreasonable to restrict remaining undeveloped land. Just because it hasn't had a problem before. Yeah. I think this is where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, my thought is not to have us start an all-night rest of the conversation here, but
no.
It does occur to me, even though my prior comment was to say that we probably don't have this to deal with too much, has the quote, best available science changed? And when this was first written, it didn't take that into account so much. I mean, I'm thinking about Magnolia, I'm thinking of Oso, I'm thinking of other things that have happened in the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
which probably would have reflected different language today. So I don't know.
You're definitely going to see it based on recent events. The code had, you know, this is the policy, the code is what really is checked for the VAS, the implementation of it. And Megan, our associate planner, last week, attended a wetland forum where ecology is giving more recognition to the vegetated part of the wetlands. And so their rating system isn't changing, but the rating system, the points, how they're allocated is changing, but the buffers are not changing and the categories are not changing. But that's an example of, you know, if this is adopted, which they're thinking it is, it changes the best available science a bit, and we'll have to do a limited amendment in our wetland and our SMP. We haven't seen much other than that. I mean, and because we just adopted the SMP, we were able to incorporate some of the newer stuff. But yeah, it charges us to evaluate the best available science. And
yeah, okay, so we've had Nisqually, we've had a dozen or so high notable events.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to kind of...
There's just a 6-point something in British Columbia.
Yeah, so I don't know if you caught in there, where was it at, the city is updating line 23, page 20, their disaster response plan, and they're including an earthquake disaster. I don't know that it's been discussed, landslide disaster too, to include that, but definitely yes.
I think this is a new day, this issue, and I think the city council ought to be put on the alert, sensitive to this issue about land hazards. Thank you.
So if we just kind of summarize this, our general concern and say that review this section
mm-hmm.
for updated best available science.
Because
everything goes back to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. And the sensitivity issue, would you have any problem moving 6.1 to the end of the of the policy. I think vegetative stuff is not as important as grading. You know, that's important. That's not going to stop a landslide, but I think that it needs to be in the mix of goals, but I would put it towards the end of the group. Just out of sensitivity to the issue.
Well, goal 7, protect people.
Yeah.
You know, goal 6 is property. Goal 7 is people and property.
Exactly.
So goal 7 and 8 relate more to risk of life. That also mentions property. So they're all related to people and property, or property. And then just to people, health.
I hate that I'm even thinking this, but goal 8. Goal 8, you know, there are some people that might read that sentence to say risk to life, and they might consider wildlife.
Yeah.
And I know the definition of that life is people.
Human life?
There you go. I don't know what about that.
I just can get us all made up and talk about health when we're not talking about health.
Yep.
Take it out front. Oh, we can't.
Okay, anything else? 20 or 21?
Thing?
Yeah, I checked on that. There are wood stove and fireplace regulations. It's in the building code.
Yeah.
It's pretty stringent on, you know, of course people buy wood stoves at garage sales or estate sales and put them in and don't get a permit, but yeah.
So
there are requirements.
Right down here on North Valley. It's all right here in downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There's a code change. They're actually manufactured. You can't.
Yes. Yeah.
They may be refurbished, but the stuff that's made new
meets the air quality standards. But
okay. I'll be a little flip and say the difference is the old stoves you could burn wet wood. Today, the new stuff, it's got to be dry cedar. I mean, it's just really, that's the difference. And for what it's worth, I'm going to miss my real fireplace. That's where we're going. And I don't know if the city can address that when we've got EPA standing over our head here. But I don't know exactly where it is, but I know that there's some legislation, state and federal, that's been kind of danced around the idea of on sale event. So if somebody sells their house and happens to have a wood burning fireplace or wood burning stove, there are certain states that are pushing on it. Washington certainly a target. They're saying that's got to be changed.
To convert it to gas.
It's got to be sealed up or replace it with an item that's going to work. It's the same principle that was used with the gas detector. Sorry, that's
okay. Carbon monoxide.
Yeah. One idiot a little bit put his charcoal briquettes in the living room, and now everybody's on sale, and every new occupant, like a tenant transfer, they have to replace and add carbon monoxide detectors to everybody.
Yep.
That's the kind of stuff that this fireplace thing reminds me of. So, sorry, I'll get off my box. That's a hot button for me. Can't tell grandma she can't stay warm without paying the rent.
On page 22, line 23, if you use a generator, does that fall under this prohibition, or is it the emergency use? You're allowed to use generators.
Oh,
or power
generators. Yeah, generators would be exempt. Reduce and mitigate problems associated with noise generating. This is land uses, so more of incompatible uses. And then our noise ordinance, you know, would be triggered too, so.
This doesn't specifically prohibit use of power generators for emergency purposes.
No. If that is addressed in our code, you know, we have it is, it's called out in our code, but I think anything, emergency.
Emergency.
Any sort of emergency action is just exempt, even removal of a tree or whatever, and then come back later and if you need a permit for something.
Yeah.
I'm kind of struggling with goal 10 being struck in its entirety because I think a citizen having access to the maps versus us in the planning commission is what this might be targeted to. And if they are aware of what areas are prone to slide or where the seismic zones are, where the flood zones are mapped, that to me.
So the top of page 23, we tried to summarize the mapping. Let me know if you think that helps.
It goes to the difference of a goal or an informative section that might or might not get picked up. And maybe you just say, you know, here's for all your critical areas maps, this one, and this one, there they are. You don't need a big policy around it, but that it's recognized somewhere that the city is responsible in gathering the best science and the best data to supply to its citizens. Is what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, Gary. So would this suggest we're going to get rid of the critical area map, or is the base map something specific I'm not understanding?
Or to make critical area mapping the goal. Remove that section over the goal 10. You know? So page 23 essentially becomes goal 10.
Okay.
I'm just, does that seem reasonable?
We're not. We were describing it more than leaving it as a goal and policy, but if you think, if you disagree, I can look at it and try to meld these two together. And
everybody,
we can leave it. Yeah. I'll try to combine these, though, so it's not saying the same thing. Well...
You guys have as much fun every time you meet.
Oh, yeah. It's always
sometimes more, sometimes less. Sometimes we don't all get along. All right. Anything else on Chapter 2? Jamie, when can we expect the next...
Appreciate your time. We'll have to refer to our schedule. I think that we have land use coming up, which is a big chapter, and I don't want to wait too long so that you guys forget what we talked about tonight. So, like I said, I'd like to bring the map set. I think that's helpful to have the context in the picture and the revisions. So,
the revisions a lot rely on the county getting back to you? Or do you
have and legal review, you know, of what's required for us to have them. But, I think if not the next meeting, maybe the following. So
just make it known if the county is holding us up that it's not the Planning Commission lagging.
Yeah.
The City Council is going to ding us for off schedule.
Yeah, I know. I think we're sending.
We have two meetings next month.
Should.
8th and 22nd, is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I apologize in advance if I'm not in attendance. I've got some trips that may fall right in the wrong spot for that month.
Enjoy.
Are you up for a renewal?
Yeah, that's right. So I think there's three or four or five of us. I don't know.
Yeah.
Next month.
Yep. So, I think both of you are, for sure.
So I'll be back, even though I won't be here next month.
Okay.
So does it work?
The
do you
mayor's
just show up, or do you have to stand for a so election, or you just...
No, we serve at the pleasure of the mayor.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So unless you're given a notice not to come back.
Yeah.
You just keep showing up.
Yeah. Or send out your email address, right? And then move the meeting location.
Yeah. Anything for good of the order?
Motion to adjourn.
Second motion.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.